When we're in the midst of a trial, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Many times the reason for a fiery trial in our lives is to free us from self or from sin or from a habit. And here is the first practical lesson that I see the Lord wants to teach us here in Daniel chapter 3. That if God is seeking to deal with us through a trial, what is our attitude and why should we be joyful? We should be of good cheer. Jesus said, hey, listen, but I've overcome the world. So be of good cheer or be encouraged that when you go through these things, you'll have a good attitude.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
You know, I think it's safe to say many of you are probably facing a fiery trial as today's sound doctrine comes your way. You might feel like you can't get out of bed to face another day. Today, we'd like to bring you some much-needed encouragement out of Daniel 3, verses 19 through 30. Serve to help us see what God is up to through it all, and how we can actually be of good cheer. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson with his message here on today's broadcast of Sound Doctrine.
You're going to suffer persecution. People are going to say things about you. Things are going to take place. That's just a fact. And so all that live godly shall suffer. Over in 1 Peter, interesting verse that kind of goes right along with this. This is in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 12. Notice what Peter says. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is about to try you, as some strange thing is happening to you. Why do you think it's such a surprise? Why do you get taken back by the stuff you're going through, the trials and the tribulations? Why is that a surprise? Don't think it's strange. As some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." So our attitude as we go through trials is, don't think it's strange. Don't be shocked at what you're going through. Notice, when these guys were thrown in, they were bound. It says that they took them and they fell bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. This is in verse 23. And they were fully clothed. I'm picturing these guys with these, you know, have you ever seen the Jews with the furry hats and the big hats? You know, some of them down at the Wailing Wall, they have these hats with a rim around them that's full of beautiful fur. And it's, you know, it's from Europe, from the 18th century, and they brought it over from Europe and the ghettos area, and they brought it into Israel. And there's these incredible hats. And I'm thinking, wow, these are going to just go up, and, you know, how stuff goes up, man. They've had it. Many times the reason for a fiery trial in our lives is to free us from self or from sin or from a habit. And here is the first practical lesson that I see the Lord wants to teach us here in Daniel chapter 3. That if God is seeking to deal with us through a trial, what is our attitude and why should we be joyful? We should be of good cheer. Jesus said, hey, listen, but I've overcome the world. So be of good cheer or be encouraged that when you go through these things, you'll have a good attitude. I think your outlook can make the difference in whatever you're going through. Who you're looking to. You know, you can go into a pity party quick. And you can start going, I can't believe it. I've lost my job, and this is happening. A car blew up, and then this is happening. And then you can just get down and just say, I give up. When you go through things, or this happened to my son. He got thrown in jail for drugs, or this, you know, you think about it. The things that can happen. And you can get a bad attitude real quick. Or you can see that God is working in the midst of the fiery trial. Over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, Paul says there, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations works patience. So the reason Paul could glory in his tribulation is that he saw that patience was one of the fruits of going through things. You know how somebody said, well, if you pray for patience, God will just give you a trial so you'll get patience. Well, in a way, that's kind of true. But we're going to get the trials no matter what, whether you like it or not. You're going to get them. And you're going to have to go through them because we live in a world that's full of sin and it's full of wackos and weirdos and things that just happen. So you know what? Count on it. In the world, ye shall have a blessed promise, tribulation. Those aren't in the little bread things, you know, when you take it out. You'll never find that one in there because they don't want to bum you out. Come on. I mean, let's take the whole world. Let's be balanced. Oh, there's a lot of good things, yeah. But there's a lot of other promises that are promising about, you know, like going through tribulations. Well, I don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. It's what do you do when you go through it? How do you get through your trials and your tribulations? James, in James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says it so beautifully. This is James 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Is he nuts? Is he whacked or what? Count it all joy. What's he been drinking? The bath water or what? What's wrong with that guy? Because he says, knowing this, always it's, do you know this? And this is gnosko. Do you know it by experience? In the Greek. Do you know this? Have you found this to be true? Then hold on to it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. And he goes on. They experienced joy because they embraced the trial. You know, there's something about embracing the trial. There's something about running towards it. Like David when he ran at Goliath. You know, he didn't just say, oh God, he's big. Oh God, rapture me right now. Or just, would you kill him? I just don't know what to do. No, he didn't do that. He just went, that's it. And he just ran right at the guy. And you'd think it was, well, he lost it. But no, in faith, he realized that God was going to take care of him. But he needed to take steps towards that trial. And sometimes I think we need to see the key of overcoming and being an overcomer is to embrace trials. To realize that it's not that God, you know, is punishing us or doesn't like us. It's like my kid. I'm not going to, you know, when they're out there, they just, you know, my daughter comes in and just flat out wrecked her knee on the cement. It's bleeding and everything. I'm not going to come in there and just slap her around and say, come on, man, what's wrong with you, you know, and give her another trial. She's already in a trial. And I'm not going to go in there and just start hurting her more. I mean, what kind of a dad is that? You know, when we're going through it, he comes and he ministers to us. But what's interesting about this, the timing here, is what these guys are going through. They're standing up for righteousness. And then God says, well, you know what? I'm going to have you guys thrown in the fiery furnace. Do you think God enjoyed that? No, he was like, you know, cheering his kids on saying, "I want you're going to do good. In fact, I'm going to give you a trial so you'll do even better. Do you see that? I'm going to allow you to have this trial when you're doing real good in your life and everything's going good. Because see, I think sometimes we look at trials because, you know, I've been bad or I've done this and that's why this has happened. God doesn't think that way. He wants us to do good. And so he allows things to come into our lives at a time where we need to be strengthened. We could do better. And that's what's going on here. So stepping stones, look at them for stepping stones for growth. As friends, to conform us into his image. Could God use a trial to conform me into his image? Things that we go through, they don't seem at the time joyous, you know, but oh, they're going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. God is working all things, what? For what? For good. So this is good stuff. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke, and he said unto his counselors, hey, didn't we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered, and they said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, hey, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wait a minute, you know. We threw them in bound into the fire, and now they're loosed. What does that talk about? It talks about how trials loose us from the things that are holding us back. Trials are good for us. They really do cause us to experience more of God's grace. And do you remember when Paul was crying out? Three times he said, Lord, take this pain from me. I can't stand it. And God spoke to him and said, this is all right, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. This is okay in your life, Paul. You need this right now. He allowed it to take place, to loose Paul from things that were binding him from being mightily used of the Lord. Our pain is gain. And so the first lesson, I think, is speaking about fire being a liberator. Fire brings liberation in our lives when the Lord allows us to go through that fire. Our mistakes are lessons. They notice it says they were walking around in the fire. They weren't panicking. You know, we used to have a play that the kids did. And when the kids got thrown into the fiery furnace, they all turned around and then they put shades on. And when they came back, they had a song. It's cool. In the furnace. Yeah. It's cool. In the furnace. Yeah. You know. And it was a great play, man. And they're not worried. They're not hurt. They're not freaking. They're not flaming. They're not flipping. They're not, you know, just complaining. I can't believe it. Hey, how are you doing today? I don't want to talk to you. What's wrong? I'm going through another trial. You want me to bite your head off? You know, that's not how they were acting. And they weren't running around freaking out. They were just walking around. I love this. Walking in the fire, preserved by God with a peace that passes understanding. And the king's looking at him, saying, usually guys would be freaking out, screaming, and just burn right on the spot. And these guys aren't doing that. Over in Isaiah chapter 43, you can mark this down in verse 2. God's promise, and when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. This is the scripture I used when I spoke to the Jews there in Tel Aviv at the hospital. I talked about how the Holy One of Israel is your Savior. You must see that he is your Savior. He loves you. You know, and they just were looking at me, you know. And so out of the Old Testament, we can witness to the Jews. And then in verse 4, it says, you're precious in my sight. I have loved you. Verse 5 says, fear not, for I am with you. I love God's promises. He's so true. He says, you're going to pass through the fire and you will not be burned. They were in no hurry. They were not hurt. They were taking their time and they allowed God to have his perfect work in their lives. I love that scripture in Hebrews in chapter 10 where he speaks in verse 35. This is Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How we need to be men and women of faith, stepping out on God's promises. God said, I will not burn. Not that we would tempt the Lord and say, well, God's, you know, not going to take me, so I'm going to jump in front of this train. Well, boom, you're out of here, right? You blew that one. No, I'm not talking about that. I mean, I'm talking about just standing on the Word of God for the things that we go through in our lives. That God is working a special work in us so he can do a work through us. In Hebrews, in chapter 12 there, in verse 11, Hebrews 12:11, he says, and I've already mentioned this verse, there is no chastening for the present that seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So, man, I mean, that we would just stand on that. Okay, I'm going through it right now. But God's working something great. Something good's coming. I remember for years, my wife had a secret that tormented her. A deep secret that she would come to me and say, I got to tell you something. I go, okay. No, I can't. And she'd go away. And then a month ago away, or maybe a year ago on, and she'd come up to me and say, I got to tell you something. You ready? I said, yeah. I can't. And this went on for years. You know, I'm thinking, she killed somebody. I don't know what to think. She won't tell me. And this just bothered her and bothered her. But in God's time, he delivered her. The timing is interesting. He delivered her. And what this huge trial was in her life, this fiery trial, was that she had put up a child for adoption in high school. And she never told me. Now, she knew all about my shenanigans. She knew my every secret, you know, but there's something that her mom and kind of, you know, they got together. You never tell nobody nothing, none of this. And then her mom went to be with the Lord, and then she had to face it. And now, because of those years of fire, I have to read this scripture over in Psalm 66. I just found it today. In Psalm 66, in verse 10, he says, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. And so that turmoil, that fire that she went through, turned around, and God uses everything. And then House of Ruth was established 25 years ago. And since then, hundreds and hundreds of people have enjoyed the fruit of God's work through House of Ruth and have got hundreds and hundreds of children that couldn't have children themselves through adoption. You see how God will take something that the enemy wants to try to destroy you with, and if you'll just give it to the Lord and allow the Lord to allow you to just deal with it, then God will bring something beautiful from that. But a ministry that has touched even international. We sent a child to Israel, and there's children all over the place. Now we see them. They're 24, 25 years old children that at one time we brought. I remember the first one we brought as a little baby. We were the storks, and we brought it to the parents and gave it to the parents. Man, what a time that was. I mean, it was all out of this fiery trial, this horrible thing, this secret that hide it. Then when it comes out, look what God does. Some of us go through trials with our children, and they're fiery. But we've got to not compromise. We've got to take a stand. We need to be open to literally sacrifice our children somewhat, as far as what Abraham did with his child, and that's just lay him on the altar before God, because you've raised them the best way you could. You've been there for them, but now they're making decisions that maybe aren't wise. And that's when you have to just lay them on the altar and let God have them. It's hard to do. It's hard to let them go. But we need to do that. It's for our good. We sing this song over and over again. Tonight we're going to sing it again. Melt me, mold me. Spirit of the living God, melt me, mold me. Do we understand when we sing a song like that, what we're asking God to do? Strike up the flame, Lord. Give me a try. I'm not singing that song again. That's a good song. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. That's great. Our prayer, Lord, whatever it takes to die to this flesh, to die to self, and be used by you, let it be. Good prayer. Whatever it takes. Notice it seems they would rather be in the fire. And I love this part because it seems like they're just kicking back in there and they're just having kind of a good time. And hey, how you doing, Jesus? Man, this is awesome. What is going on? You know, and they're just hanging around. And they'd rather be in the fire when they are being able to see the Lord and be able to have fellowship with Him in the midst of that than to go outside and not have that relationship. It's almost like with Stephen in the stoning, as his stones were hitting him, he looked up and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. I mean, that was the time where he just had this encounter with the living God. Remember John? They took him and they tried to boil him in oil, tradition says. And he couldn't boil. He wouldn't boil. Talk about a fiery trial. And they just took him out of the oil and they sent him to the island of Patmos. And he said, and on the Lord's day, I saw the Lord, man. I saw the Lord in the midst of his trial. You know, we see God. We see the things of God. And they wanted to just hang around. You can get outside and be comfortable, but no revelation of him. Or you can go ahead and, in the midst of your trial, see the Lord. Because he's right there. He promised he would be with us through whatever we go through. And so, a lot of times we're not looking for him. We're just trying to get out of there. We're just praying, oh God, take me out of this. I want out of here. I want to get out. But the Lord's doing this thing and he's allowing it and he's forming us and conforming us into his image.
So often we are in those fiery trials and we're crying out, Lord, get me out of this. In light of what we've just heard from Daniel, a better prayer would be, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? We're in the latter half of Daniel chapter 3 today on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson's message is called Be of Good Cheer. Well, let me pass along our toll-free number to you, which you can use to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. It's 800-353-7553. And by the way, the suggested donation is $5. Again, get a hold of us at 800-353-7553. Or access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. More and more people these days are accessing teaching through their mobile devices. Now, if that's you, check out our app. Simply do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet today. Well, Jesus knew all that his death would satisfy. He also knew that each one of us would have to make a choice. It's a frightful thing to die without hope and be unprepared to face the consequences of living a reckless life. At the same time, it's a glorious thing to die in hope of eternal life, to trust the victory Christ won on the cross when he uttered his final words, "It is finished." Today, we would like to get a timely resource into your hands, written by Calvary Chapel pastors. It's a book called Because He Lives. We can walk you through the ordering process when you call 800-353-7553. 7553 or get it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Please also remember that it's your financial support that helps to make these studies possible on your station and others like it. Your contribution is an investment in the lives of so many listeners that make it their aim to build their lives on the sound doctrine contained in the Word. So thank you very much. Go online, sounddoctrineradio.org, and click donate, or call 800-353-7553. Well, there's much more to come in the book of Daniel. Make plans to join us each day as together we open and study the Word with Pastor Jeff. Sound Doctrine is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,